From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Everybody, it's the Brian and Vinny Show. It is April 15, 2014 here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Our usual Tuesday night show. We've got a couple of changes here.
We do.
Yeah, Craig's not here.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't notice? He's hard to miss.
Well, considering we drive together, yes. Craig is absent.
Craig's not here. He's attending to some personal matters. He may have talked about this online for all I know, but he'll be back on Thursday. Fear not. And that should be quite the show, since it will be me, Vinny, Granny, and Craig. I can't even fathom this quadrant. What would you call it?
Quartet.
Quartet. That's right.
Quadrant would be like a quarter of a piece of land or something.
Hey, sometimes we're seeing you and Craig.
You shut up.
Your quadrant. So yeah, we're going to, I almost had a special guest here in studio tonight. But unfortunately, this person, who you all kind of know, you've heard of him. Unfortunately, he is battling an illness, and so he's been coughing a lot. So I didn't want to be here.
Stop me from coming here.
Coughing like a crazy. Well, he's not getting paid, you jackass. So I didn't want him here coughing into the mic and such, and making a buffoon of himself in his first big appearance here on the program. So he will be here later. He who shall not be named until he appears.
If it's who I'm thinking of, there'll be plenty of time for him to make a buffoon of himself later.
Oh, yeah. So, without Craig, and without any special guests here tonight, really, I guess all we have to talk about is Raw and SmackDown.
That's all I got.
Man, this is going to be a hell of a show.
We'll
if you would like to...
done here in 20 minutes.
Oh, I'll drag this fucker out. If you would like to join us here this evening... The hashtag is F4WLive, as it is all the time here on the program. I'll be observing, since I am a wrestling observer, I will be observing the Twitter throughout the evening, and if anybody has anything pertinent to say, I will bring it up here. I believe we've got some new songs as well. Have some fun. You know how it is. Should be an exciting time, right?
Always.
That's not true, but...
Often?
Let's go, Vinny.
Sometimes. Now, before I forget, and while since we already talked about how we have time to kill, the network is on, as it always is when we start, and they were showing a Survivor Series match, and I don't know how long ago this was, but when I talk about what I saw, this is going to sound not like something that happened a long time ago. This is going to sound like something that happened in an alternate universe or another planet. What happened was, it was a Survivor Series match, and one team was down to one guy, and the heel team was down to two guys. And the man fighting on a 2-on-1 advantage, the man outnumbered by two men, was Kofi Kingston. And the other two men were CM Punk and Randy Orton. And what happened was Kofi came back to pin them both cleanly.
I have absolutely no memory of this whatsoever.
I watched and thought, what's happening? What went wrong? Something went backwards. Like I say, I cannot... This is not an issue of I forgot this happened, or not just an issue of I forgot this happened. It's an issue of I cannot fathom a point in time where this was a possibility. Anyway, I thought that was notable.
Would you like to talk about your bachelor party, Vinny?
No.
No?
No.
Why? Not where it's at.
Well, I'm open for ideas, I guess.
Well, I just thought it was funny. Vinny sent out an email.
Yeah.
He's now arranging his own bachelor party.
Well, that's not exactly true. Jim and I have been talking about it on Sunday night.
I talked to Jim a while ago, and we were thinking of some ideas, but I just want to say that I was reading your email, Vinny, and I nearly died when Jim has made the suggestion that as part of your bachelor party, we drive down to Portland, Oregon. We caravan down to Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
And in your email, you suggested that maybe we don't want to do this because of the time and the expense.
Yeah. Well,
To Portland?
Well, sure.
It's a 3-hour drive that we're going to carpool.
That is true.
Where the fuck do you think we're going to go? Hawaii? We used to drive to Portland every week.
Oh, I remember that.
To wrestle for free for Tito Carrion.
I remember that. It was fun.
And now, the one time in your life, presumably, that you're going to get married.
Knock on wood. Yes.
The one bachelor party you're going to have, you're concerned about the time and the cost of caravanning to Portland?
I am concerned about my friends and making sure they're down with this. Maybe they're not. I don't know what their lives are like.
Driving to Portland. You realize where your wife is going for her bachelorette deal?
Farther than Portland.
A hell of a lot farther. They're driving all the way to Cannon Beach.
Yes, they are. For at least 2 nights.
We're going to take a fucking taxi to Portland? We all have cars with plenty of space. I know how many friends you have. I saw the email list. That's 2 cars. Maybe. Maybe one big car.
There will be, there'll at least be other people invited to the party. That email was to my groomsman.
That was only to the people that matter.
Well, there's other information.
I shouldn't say that because I know some other people that are going and they do matter. But
no. But anyway.
If you want to go to fucking Portland, Vinny, for your bachelor party,
I'm sure we can make it work.
It's not like this is a great...
I'm actually surprised by this because I imagined, I could visualize that us making the announcement, guys, we're headed to Portland, and I could picture you just raising your hand and saying, I'm out.
No, Vinny, most people would say like the bachelor party's in Vegas.
Yeah.
And everybody would find a way to get there. Instead, we're going to drive to Portland, and Vinny's like, this may be too much of a burden.
It's...
What? We're going to Portland. I'm making a call. How many of your friends are going to go, oh, I don't know about Portland. It's a long fucking way away. That's all 2 hours. That's literally 2 hours and 40 minutes via car.
By the way, Craig could not be here tonight, and there is a good reason Craig is not here, but he is on Twitter. Wants to let us know he has never been to a strip club and never will.
What's that have to do with anything?
I didn't say it. He volunteered it.
We're going to Portland for the buffets.
That's right. See the Winterhawks play.
I don't see Craig anywhere on Twitter.
You on F4W Live?
I guess I'm not. Yeah, well, Craig can go out there and stand guard outside.
That's right.
Bring a book. How about that? I'm sure there's something next door.
Everyone will have a good time.
There's probably a Buffalo Wild Wings next door. Perfect.
I like you're now planning Portland.
Sure.
You're
what?
Building.
Vinny, I had my bachelor party in Seattle and it sucked.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. Besides, if I don't think anyone's going to try to crash your bachelor party, but if they somehow thought even remotely that this was possible, it's significantly more likely in Seattle than Portland.
Good point.
Besides, you could just run into somebody in Seattle purely via coincidence, which, by the way, you would not believe was a coincidence, and you'd have a freak out.
I would be more open to it in the bachelor party.
This guy wants to see you drive to Hawaii. He'd pay.
I'm sure he would. I did see that one. I also see this note. In Germany, bachelors have to walk in bunny costumes and sell condoms on the street. Do you have to do that in the U.S. too? The answer is no.
Craig has never been to a strip club and never will. He doesn't even know what's in there.
Craig, in Portland, if you go to the strip clubs, you can also get steak.
Yeah. All you can eat steak, probably. A big one. We'll talk. Anyway, I just found that email funny.
Well, parts of it were intended to be funny, although
I didn't laugh at any of that stuff.
How dare you?
I laughed at the legit funny stuff. It's so far out of its way. Anyway. Where shall we begin?
Well, traditionally, Brian, we do SmackDown first.
Sequentially?
Yes, correct.
Well, let's give it a shot.
All right. The show opened with a graphic memorializing Warrior and a voiceover by Michael Cole sending condolences to his family and announcing that Raw would be a tribute show. And John Cena came out for a promo. It kind of made me laugh. Because basically, he recapped everything that happened at WrestleMania and everything that happened on Monday Night Raw in case the fans here at SmackDown hadn't heard. So he noted the fans had new words for his theme song, which are John Cena sucks. Talked about all the new faces. And then he was all happy and joking Cena. And then he got serious and said all these new guys, You're going to see that I'm still the measuring stick and the standard bearer, and you're not going to be a top guy unless you go through me.
Maybe I'm the only guy in the world, but about a minute into this, I just started to fall asleep. All of the usual John Cena wackiness.
It was every John Cena promo you've seen.
Trying too hard. Yeah. He tried to get the crowd to sing John Cena sucks. Nobody did. Just scripted from start to finish. I honest to God, was struggling with consciousness in the middle of this. And then by the time he started to get serious, I was over it. So,
well, that'll happen.
This interview sucked a lot.
And when he was done, the Wyatts appeared on the screen. They said Cena had only given them more time to hurt him. And paraphrasing here, Bray said he had seen fear in Cena's eyes at Mania, and things were far from over between them.
Yeah. There's nothing like a feud where the babyface decisively wins the first match, and then we're supposed to care
feuding
about anything further. I just ranted the other day about how somebody was asking about Jarrett's promotion. If you give him one piece of advice, what would that be? How about, like, read some fables? That's a good one. Read some fables. Read some stories that have been passed down over the last 2,000, 3,000 years. And then book like that. Because that's the stuff that works. The idea that you've got a babyface versus a heel, and they have a match, and the babyface, with no help whatsoever, vanquishes the heel. And that leads to them just fighting more. There's a reason that nobody gives a shit about that. Except, like, little children that just love John Cena. Why adults could not possibly care less. And granted, I believe that Bray Wyatt was actually supposed to win at WrestleMania as a result of the Wyatt clan running in. And because Vince decided The Undertaker was going to lose in a big surprise, and he did not want Undertaker and John Cena losing on the same show, he switched the John Cena fish. I firmly believe that that's what happened. And that would make sense, the way that Vince runs his business, but it does make the rest of this John Cena-Bray Wyatt feud stupid. Now we have to deal with it.
They couldn't have found some way to just do a DQ or something. They had to have John Cena fight off interference, hit his finisher, and win.
Well, that's how they do things. Listen, when the odds stated that Bray Wyatt was going to win at WrestleMania, I said at the time, I don't care what the odds are, maybe that's our plan right now, but at the end of the day, when WrestleMania Day comes along, Vince is going to say, oh, God damn it, John Cena can't lose at WrestleMania, and they were going to switch it, which is what happened, in fact, because that's just the way he thinks. John Cena cannot possibly lose at WrestleMania. Even if it's the beginning of a feud. So yeah, this whole thing is just not working.
No, it's not. Had all sorts of stories from mainstream news sites talking about Undertaker's streak ending. And we had Big Show versus Cesaro. Cesaro came out with Heyman, who cut a promo hyping him up. Well, then we got in the ring, he still shook hands with the Big Show. So he's still an arrogant prick, but he respects the giant. Teased a bunch of power spots, like a sunset flip bomb off the apron that thankfully did not happen. Went to commercial and they came back and there was tons and tons of sleeper holds. And we're talking about Cesaro suffering a leg injury.
He was taking his air out of him.
That's what he went to Heyman for advice. Heyman said, take his air away. Which, hey, not bad. It's good advice. Heyman was, as always, great on commentary. He was simultaneously being color commentator and the promoter of his client, Cesaro. He was outstanding. So, Show missed a middle rope elbow, and Cesaro set him up for the giant swing. But before he could even try it, Jack Swagger attacked him from behind. So, Cesaro wins by DQ. Show then knocked Swagger out of the ring. Then Cesaro laid out Show from behind and hit him with the neutralizer. So, yes, he is strong.
Actually, did it with ease.
Yeah.
Astonishing ease, actually.
He is a freak.
Again, why can't you just beat the Big Show? Why do you have to win via disqualification and then just completely destroy the man and lay him out with your finisher? Just beat him.
Bo Dallas hype video. Los Matadores versus Axelback. I know he's done it before, but Ryback used a jackhammer here, outright beating the fans to chant for Goldberg. And ironically, they didn't.
They weren't chanting for nothing here tonight.
No. JBL noted that he was the one who coined the term Ribaxel. He immediately said, yeah, I thought of it, but I thought it was a stupid name. I never thought they would use it. So this was, as I wrote here, a nothing of a match until Torito tried to dive on Ryback. Ryback caught him. One of the Matadors wiped him out with a dive, but then Axel pinned the other Matador with a neckbreaker.
That's fine.
It was a match. It was fine. Renee interviewed RVD backstage. By the way, because we were tired and the show had already gone like 90 minutes, we never even got to talk about Raw last week. I missed the first half of the show due to travel taking well longer than I thought, but that's my own fault. But watch it. I watched the first half on the Hulu thing. So anything that I missed was anything that happened in the first half they edited out, I missed. Point is, I didn't even know Rob Van Dam was back until I watched the show.
You missed his entire return.
Yes. They did not mention it on the Hulu recap of Raw. And it turned on SmackDown, and there he is. So his promo was, in the short time he'd been gone, face of the entire company had changed. But the biggest change is that now he was back. The best thing about Rob being back, as always, I love Rob Van Dam's WWE theme. It is great.
I have seen you rock out to his theme many times
during
pay-per-views.
It's a great song. How can you not?
Easy. I don't.
So he wrestled Damian Sandow. There was a spot here where Rob tried a moonsault off the apron and missed. And nothing out of the ordinary there, except in the background of the shot, you can see the Titantron. And what was on the Titantron was an extreme close-up of the exact same move shot from the other side. So there appeared to be clone Rob Van Dam was flying through the air and missing moonsaults all over the place.
I thought it was notable because Rob Van Dam decided at 42 or 43 years old that he was going to do a moonsault off the apron, miss, and land on his stomach on the floor.
Yeah, that too.
What a stupid idea.
Yeah, so I don't want to alarm anyone, but Damian Sandow did not pin Rob Van Dam.
No.
RVD won with the frog splash.
Maybe that's why they didn't put it on Hulu. Same match.
Might have been, actually. Adam Rose hype video, nothing you haven't seen before. Hulk Hogan came out for a promo. Called Bryan's title win one of the great moments in WrestleMania history. It was.
It was, yeah.
He brought Bryan out. In case you're wondering, no, the fans are not yet tired of this man, and they're still not tired of cheering yes, yes, yes.
He's one of the only guys on the entire show that they cared about.
These two might have been. So Bryan talked about growing up as a Hulkamaniac. Said Hulkster was the biggest superstar in the world when he was growing up. Also true. He acknowledged that he had been doing his training, his prayers, and his vitamins. His pythons were still not quite like Hulkster's, but he was working on it. He asked them to play Hulk Hogan's music just so he could watch the posing routine in person. And we talked about this in the Bryan special, too. This is 100% true. Daniel Bryan would have been happier standing there and watching Hulk Hogan pose than actually take part in this. But he did, and everyone cheered. And even the announcers were laughing, saying, Hulk, if Bryan takes his shirt off, you just get out of the way.
You know, sometimes you hear a guy talk about how he's a big fan of somebody growing up, and then, you know, something happens and you realize, usually it's with The Miz, he's talking about some legend like Bruno Sammartino, and he has absolutely no idea what he's talking about. But Daniel Bryan did a very accurate rendition of the Hulk Hogan posing routine. So either he's a very, very good liar, or he was a very good Hulkamaniac growing up. One or the other.
I bet it's the former.
It's wacky, but it was fun.
Part of the show.
I read about this and was not sold on it, but when it was over, it was like, that was a lot of fun. They just did a wacky little thing. Hogan looked so happy, and it was good. So, two thumbs up.
I thought it was great. The best thing on SmackDown, and probably better than anything on Raw, which I thought sucked.
I don't know if it was that good. Hogan was very joyously chanting yes, however, which entertained me.
Yes.
You know, I didn't mention this about the Daniel Bryan Road to WrestleMania special, but it's hilarious in hindsight. Watching when the yes chants were first starting to catch on, and Daniel Bryan didn't know how to do his finger pointing, there was nothing to sync to yet. And so he did it much faster than he does it nowadays. So he's moving his hands up and down really fast, and the crowd's trying to chant yes, 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 but he's going too fast for them. So his yes movement has evolved over the years.
Yes.
Hogan still hasn't figured it out yet.
He's working on that too.
He moved it up and down whenever he felt like it.
Kofi Kingston versus Wade Barrett. Barrett got himself a cape. An honest to God cape. And it's awesome.
I think he's had that cape for a while. You just don't notice it because he's on
his. Yes, he hasn't wrestled in years. That may be it. He tried to cut a promo before the match, but Kofi charged him.
What happened to his raising gimmick?
I guess it's only for his promos.
Hmm. Maybe they realized it was stupid and a waste of time.
Yeah. So Kofi tried to charge him, and Wade, without dropping the mic, hit Kofi with a punch and laid him out, and then CD had some bad news. Remember earlier when I said Kofi Kingston pinned CM Punk and Randy Orton in one match to win?
Oh, yeah.
What a geek he is now.
He looked like such a geek. Barrett is asking for a mic, and Kofi decides, I'm going to jump you. And he runs at him, and Barrett just punches him right in the face, and he falls down, and then Barrett just beat the crap out of him.
So they had a short match. It was fun while it lasted, and Kofi tried his kick, and Wade hit the bull hammer in midair and pinned him. So after all these months and all these bad news segments, Wade's finally wrestling again, and it's exactly the same. Which, I'm fine. I like Wade. But what was the point of those dumb things?
I don't know. They wanted to use a lift.
A spare piece of equipment laying around. He re-aired the Thank the Fans video.
Wow, this is something to argue. This guy says Sandow sucks. He shouldn't pin anybody. Bo Dallas and Corey Graves have more upside.
False.
I guess we'll see in the long run.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. We'll see.
Who do you say has more upside, Bo or Corey Graves?
Corey Graves. Well, yeah. I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
See, I know you're not a fan of Corey Graves.
I'd have to think about that. Actually, I jumped too quickly.
All right.
Who has more of an upside? Well, now that CM Punk is gone, Corey Graves has a chance.
Okay.
Because they don't have another one. It used to be that once you had a CM Punk, you didn't need a Corey Graves. But now you don't have a CM Punk. So now you can use Corey Graves. I don't know. It's almost a wash. Although, I will say that Bo Dallas has more of the WWE look than Corey Graves. So I guess at the end of the day, as far as upside, I don't know about upside, but I know which guy has a better chance, and that's Bo Dallas.
Fandango versus Santino. This is the debut of Layla and Fandango as a couple. They explained that Fandango had dumped Summer on Twitter. Usually when a couple breaks up in wrestling, one of them turns face. Probably not going to happen here. Nobody cared about this match until Santino went for the Cobra. And then Layla stole his puppet. Fandango won with a roll-up. Moving on, nothing to see here.
I would say that Sandow, by the way, is a better worker than both men.
Yeah.
He is a better talker than both men.
Yeah.
He is not as, I don't know how old Corey Graves is. He may be older than both men. He has also been slotted. So this is tough here. And Tobias here also says, I bet $100, he says, that Bo Dallas will never win a main roster title in his career. I got words for you, Tobias. You may as well write that check out to me right now. Because in 2014, the chances of Bo Dallas not ever winning any title in his career, the chances are slim. There's a U.S. and an Intercontinental title. And I wouldn't even be shocked if they did the gimmick where he won it his first day in. But at some point in his career, provided something does not go horribly wrong, he will win a title. It's just the way it is.
They showed Paige's title win from Monday. And then they showed a Paige profile video that was really, really good. And Caster was defiant and anti-establishment. And I was thinking to myself, boy, in a perfect world, this would have aired every week for a month before her debut. And then they finished it up. They showed her getting backstage after her championship win. And all the other divas congratulated her and she wept. And I was wrong. This is perfect and couldn't have gone any better than the way they did it. So never mind.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great.
It was a great little video. Now let's get back to this here. This guy is saying, have you seen Sandow in the ring? He is painfully average, he says.
Have you seen Bo?
I was going to say Bo and both guys, Corey Graves as well. I don't want to say painfully, but neither of them are above average. Gimmick sucks, he says. Bo Dallas's gimmick is significantly worse than Damian Sandow's.
Fact.
Nothing special on the mic. I don't know if I'd say he's anything special, but he's still better than the other two.
Yeah.
And a mediocre look. Now, the other two probably do have a better look than Damian Sandow, so they are up on that scorecard, but that's about it.
Don't forget, Damian is the tallest one.
He's also, he's probably the tallest. That is probably true. I have not measured the men.
No.
Your biggest fan also is offering to pay to go to your bachelor party.
I will get in contact with him and let him know what's going on.
Wow.
If he wants to fly himself out, why not? The hell were we?
He's overflowing with joy right now, I'm sure.
Probably. They showed the brawl at the end of Raw, and they went to a Shield promo from Main Event. I heard this promo was awesome, and I was really looking forward to it, and they showed Seth Rollins saying like two sentences, and that was it. Kane, Orton, and Dave had a meeting backstage. They all bickered about who was going to get to kill Brian first. And I just love, and I guess this was rendered moot on Raw, but I love that Kane's been wrestling for 15 years in custom masks and bodysuits, and now just brings slacks and a white
15
beater.
15 years?
How long has Kane been around? 97?
That's a hell of a lot longer than 15 years ago, and he was Isaac Yankin before that. Oh, the actual Kane character?
Yeah.
We're still talking 97.
Yeah, so 17 years, to be specific.
I'm a stickler for details, Vinny.
If there's one thing you're into, it's numbers.
Oh, yeah. Sammy here says that Seth Rollins is a new CM Punk.
In what way?
I don't know. Long hair, which Punk doesn't have. Indie guy, like everybody else. I don't know.
I've never, ever thought to myself, boy, Seth Rollins reminds me of CM Punk.
You know what, though? When
former ROH champ. There's
when
that.
Seth Rollins was signed... he had long hair and a beard, long black hair and a beard, and CM Punk, who I don't believe at the time had, was getting the push he was getting the last few years. He also had long hair and a beard, and Seth Rollins had a better physique. So I, at the time, thought if something goes wrong with Punk, Seth is going to get a spot, but that didn't happen. But Seth is a star now, so well-deserved.
Yes, it is. Main event was Usos and Daniel Bryan versus Kane, Batista, and Orton. So they're having this match. And it's... By the standards of WWE six-man tags, it's nothing special. It's fine. Bryan obviously didn't do anything. They kept him on the apron the entire time until they got the hot tag. And everyone's hitting a dive. One of the Usos tried a flip dive onto Dave and came up way short and just splatted back first on the mat. That had to suck. And then... all six men were counted out. They couldn't have Kane get pinned.
No, Kane's main eventing the next pay-per-view, supposedly.
I know that. I guess after Raw,
which
that makes
I still
sense.
Don't believe.
But, the Usos could not get pinned. Couldn't have Dave lose again. No, this all got counted out. So the heels took out the Usos with their finishers, and they were left 3-on-1 with Bryan. We're going to put them through a table. When the Shield arrived to make the save... Orton and Dave ran for their lives. Bryan laid out Kane with a knee strike, and the Shield hit him with a triple power bomb, and that was SmackDown.
That's fine. This is a better show than usual. Not a whole lot happened, but some stuff happened.
The Bryan Hogan segment was fun.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Lewis is back with a new song. Let's see
Hooray!
What it sounds like.
I think it's time that the three of us... got together as grown men and had a rational conversation about a better way to spend our time than watching the show. A fat guy in no shirt.
Top that!
I can't.
He looked like he was in the military's Captain Douchebag.
With a silver stormtrooper mask.
This was all great. I have never gotten a single complaint.
What has happened to pro wrestling?
Dirty D's.
Oh, man!
You're here to prod Vinny when he starts to fall asleep.
I fucked this up royally. This is on me.
What's happening over there?
I know you're a connoisseur of men's bodies.
It's going to be exciting. That's all you need to know. What was the point of this match? What is the point of this show?
I hate ducks!
No one help me.
Statistically, you're correct.
Great!
I remember when I was a little kid, I was...
a furry vest.
That's your cue, Vinny!
Jibber Jabber has ceased.
This jibber jabber.
This hit too close.
Hashtag Verhey is a genius.
It is a one-fold match!
Kick your medieval ass!
And I bellow to the top of my lungs.
Where is 11A?
Your King Arthur!
Literally makes me nauseated.
There's no Hulkamaniacs here.
Electronic green goop.
Much like Linda Blair.
Much like Linda Blair.
I mean, not as hot.
That was a payoff.
Game over, man. It's game over.
like the gasp that he added in when you said, well, like, Linda Blair, just not as hot.
That was not, yeah.
That's going to be number one on
Lewis
the
has done great work.
Top 50 of all time for 2014.
When I die before you, please don't put that on my tombstone.
Oh, man, you shouldn't have mentioned that. Now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we got to talk about Raw.
Did you enjoy this show?
Raw?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, good. Thought it was just me. So, the whole roster was out on stage for the Warrior tribute. Had a big graphic on the screen. Vince McMahon, front and center. He had a great tribute with lots of highlights and people like Steph and Hogan talking about how Warrior stood the test of time. He re-aired his last promo on Raw, which turned out to be his own eulogy. And then, saddest of all, they showed his little girls the Hall of Fame. That was very hard to watch. Did a 10-bell salute and said they would celebrate his life tonight, and they played his music. And you talked about me rocking out to RVD's theme. Titus O'Neil was rocking out to Ultimate Warrior's theme. And Hunter got everyone on the stage to lead Chance of Warrior's name. It's all very sad.
I should mention a few things. First off, the WrestleMania 6 theme that you thought was Linda McMahon's theme.
Yeah, yes.
Not Linda McMahon's theme. You're thinking of the wrong one.
A different WrestleMania theme.
Yes, that was an excellent, excellent theme.
Yes, it's a guitar theme.
And not to make light of this 10-bell salute at all, but I'm sitting there watching this, and they announce that they're going to do a 10-bell salute for the Ultimate Warrior. And I'm sitting on the chair, and it's me. I think Witty was in the room, and sitting few feet from me was Tiggy, and they start ringing the bell, and Tiggy did not like this 10-bell salute. Usually, like, there's a lot of stuff that they play on television that your cats don't pay any attention to at all, like 99.9% of the stuff on television. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, like, on the big screen, you'll see birds flying by and the cats will take note and go crazy, but for the most part, it doesn't matter what sounds, it doesn't matter what visually is on the television, the cats completely ignore it. But there's two things that Tiggy does not like one bit. One of them was the 10-bell salute for the Ultimate Warrior. Every time that goddamn bell rang, she was just, you know, ears perked up, looking around, panicked, started to slink away every time it dinged. I don't know if it's the frequency or what it was, but she really did not like this 10-bell salute. The only thing she hates more is if you ever start playing the guitar, she's gone. Hates the guitar.
So your cat hates music.
It hates the certain notes, I guess. Mm. Like, she doesn't run away for anyone's ring entrance. Actually, you know what? She'd probably run away for The Last Real Man. But I haven't... what's his name?
Silas Young?
No, the other guy that has the siren.
Oh, Tommaso Ciampa.
Tommaso Ciampa. She probably run away for that. But actually, she didn't, so I don't even know. But every time that bell rang, she got more and more terrified and slinked away. The only other thing, interestingly, that she hears on television that she does not like, and make of this what you will, is whenever we're watching Finding Bigfoot, every now and then they will play a Bigfoot call. And she does not like those Bigfoot calls. I don't know what the hell it means. I don't know if it means it's a real animal or what it is about it. But, man, she hears those Bigfoot calls and she's out of here. So whatever that is, I don't know. But she did not like that 10-bell salute. So don't ring the bell 10 times if I pass away.
Duly noted. Duly noted. Duly noted. Alberto Del Rio wrestled Rob Van Dam in the opener. Was the first match in the first round of an 8-man tournament to get a title shot at Big E. And this entire concept is hysterical. 6 of these 8 men are former world or WWE champions. And now they're all fighting each other. And only one of them can get a shot at Big E, who loses all the time.
I was just thinking,
it's like a race to the bottom.
It's kind of like, I believe all these 8 men have even beaten Big E.
Probably.
Just pick one out of a hat and he gets a championship. You know, Dave and I had a big argument last night about Daniel Bryan versus Kane. And I was like, he can't possibly be facing Kane at the pay-per-view. And Dave's like, well, who's he going to face? And I didn't think about it at the time, but somebody on the board mentioned, How about you do a fucking tournament and the winner gets Daniel Bryan? Instead of a tournament where the winner gets Big E Langston.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what they're doing.
They're going to do
Kane. I still cannot. They're doing Daniel Bryan and Kane on Monday. And my brain cannot comprehend the idea that they're going to do the same match on pay-per-view. I realize there'll probably be a run-in. I'm hoping they do the match, shit goes down, Evolution and Batista run in, and they turn that into an 8-man.
Or something.
I mean, come on. Daniel Bryan and Kane, really?
There's better opponents for Bryan to defend against. So, we had a match. It was mostly a long commercial break. Pretty sloppy most of the way through. Rob tried to kick off the middle rope, and he fell jumping up, and then he fell again when he tried the kick. And the last minute was a bunch of big moves, everyone liked it. And Rob won with a frog splash. And the one thing about this tournament, they had updated brackets before and after every single match.
That was good.
Everyone knows what's going on in this tournament all the time. That is a thumbs up.
You know what did annoy me, though? And it's the smallest of small nitpicks. They had all the brackets. And Rob Van Dam and Del Rio was the second one down on the bracket. But
not the second match?
They started it as the first match. And I was like, is it that big a deal that, you know what I mean? Like, why couldn't you put Rob Van Dam's match on top? Because those two matches, it doesn't matter which one goes first, which one goes second. The winners are still going to face each other. So did you have to make the bracket with Rob Van Dam's match second, but you made him wrestle first? I don't know why that infuriated me. I'm probably the only one literally in the entire world.
You may be overreacting.
Oh, I know I am. I admitted that before I even went on my rant.
They announced that Daniel Bryan was on his honeymoon and would not be there and recapped his brawl with Evolution last week. Showed a highlight of Warrior winning the Intercontinental title from Honky Tonk Man at SummerSlam 88. A much bigger win than whoever Big E beat for his belt. I actually have no idea who Big E beat for his belt. But Warrior's win was bigger. Had a wacky skit / toy commercial.
Who did Big E beat?
Who cares? But there was a young boy and his mother were shopping for toys when a shirtless Sheamus and Big E appeared. And it was just a goofy toy commercial, except that it seemed to go on forever.
Was it not goofy that Sheamus is practically nude?
Sheamus is walking around bare-chested.
Toy store. Yes. Usually when wrestlers walk around in their gear in real life, it's really funny. And I'm not really offended by this, but it did just look, it was just totally weird.
They couldn't have put a t-shirt on.
Child in the toy store and all of a sudden this, maybe it's because he's so pale.
Maybe.
There's something about it where it's just unacceptable. This half naked, not even half.
60%, 70%.
80% naked man. White skin, red hair, just comes in and he's just like, hey.
Fella?
Little fella?
Evolution had a meeting backstage. Hunter said Bryan was not there, so they could not deal with him, but they could deal with a Shield. But Orton and Dave blew him off and said the only thing they cared about was being world champion. They basically told him to fuck off.
With Evolution versus the Shield, there are no heels left to fight Bryan at the pay-per-view. No heels? There are no heels on Raw. I was unaware of that fact. I was unaware. How about the fucking guy that won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal? Antonio Cesaro.
He's a heel.
He's a fucking heel. And it would be a more interesting and better match than Kane.
I can confirm it would be better.
That's just one guy.
Yes. All these guys in the tournament.
There are plenty of heels in this tournament. There's heels all over this tournament.
By the way, for those of you who really do care about this kind of thing, Big E beat Curtis Axel.
No wonder we forgot.
Yeah. I'm actually happy I forgot. I'm glad that's not rattling around in my head. Rhodes Brothers versus Axelback. A by-the-numbers match. Cody came off the ropes with a disaster kick, and Ryback caught him with a lariat in midair for the win. Remember when the Rhodes Brothers were having great matches every week and were a key part of the show? That seems like forever ago now.
Thank God they didn't break up at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Got to be here jobbing Axelback instead. Paige versus Alicia Fox. Paige looked better here than she did last week. They were on different pages early, but it worked out. And then she won with the Scorpion Crosslock, which got a huge pop.
Because it looks awesome.
It's a good reason, yes.
I like how they shoot it from down below so it looks even more dramatic.
Sure. Who was it that first finished they'd actually put a camera in the ring? I forget. It doesn't matter. Usos versus Orton and Batista. Wrestled around a while. Nobody really cared. Shield showed up, attacked Orton. The place went nuts. Then they surrounded Dave in the ring. And he fought him off for a while, but then Reigns hit a Superman punch and he ran away, and Orton and Dave ran for cover. They showed Warrior beating Hulk Hogan for the World Championship at WrestleMania 6 in Toronto. Orton and Dave were backstage recovering. Hunter just walked up, looked them both in the eye, shrugged, and said, "Told ya."
What a dick.
It was great. Hunter is so great at being a prick. Heyman came out for a promo.
People laughed, too, at it.
Yeah, because he's such a great prick. And, of course, these other guys are also pricks. You're supposed to laugh when bad things happen to them. Paul Heyman came out for a promo, repeated several times that Brock Lesnar had broken the streak, had still photos of Brock beating Taker up, bragged about it for a while, and then brought out Cesaro. Cesaro versus Mark Henry in an Intercontinental title tournament match, which stopped both men from wrestling Bryan at the pay-per-view, so they had to go get Kane. Cesaro won in about a minute with the diving uppercut and the neutralizer.
You know what's funny?
Hell of a tournament so far.
His gimmick is the King of Swing, and I don't believe he has done a single swing since WrestleMania. Am I wrong about that?
Well, no. He has wrestled Big Show and Mark Henry. Now, granted, he's swung Khali.
Well, I'm pretty sure he can swing them if you can give him a neutralizer.
I wouldn't know. I can't do either one. So... the Helmsleys told Brad Maddox to find the Shield and tell them they had a match in the main event. Maddox said, "Do you want me to tell them who their opponents are?" And the Helmsleys said, "No."
I love Brad's gimmick. I don't know if this is an ongoing thing or if I've just now noticed it or I'm just creating something in my mind. But Brad is that idiot who he works for you. You tell him what to do. And they just got to ask you some extra questions.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
They were very simple instructions. Go find the fucking Shield. Tell them they are in the main event, all right? Should I tell them who their opponents are? No! Go find the fucking Shield and tell them who their opponents are. That's it! Watch, you'll do it every week now. Maybe this has been ongoing for a while, and I've just now been alerted to it in my own mind.
Lana and Alexander Rusev came out. It was Rusev versus Xavier Woods. Lana said that monuments would be erected in Rusev's name. God, I hope this is true.
Like what kind of monument?
An arch.
Pyramid?
Pyramid, sure. Big statue of Alexander Rusev.
I want to see Nick Cage's pyramid in the fucking cemetery.
That's right. So Rusev squashed Woods and beat him with a camel clutch. Still waiting for a good match in this episode of Raw.
And Lana they've done her up. She's been done up for a few weeks. But I don't know what they do. They're good. I'm not saying that she's not attractive, but when they moved her from NXT to Raw, her attractiveness increased tenfold. So I don't know what they do with the makeups or the outfit or whatever, but yeah. Good switch.
So, yeah, and he beat up Truth for good measure, too, when all was said and done. They showed Warrior beating Rick Rude in a cage match at SummerSlam. I don't think anyone got more good matches out of the Ultimate Warrior than Rick Rude did.
Savage.
They had one really good match. I guess two. They had one at SummerSlam, didn't they?
SummerSlam was the only one people remember.
They did one at Mania.
Oh, the Mania one. Yeah.
Rude had two or three. So, yeah. Anyway, Rick Rude and Randy Savage are good, everyone. Had a brief clip of Daniel Bryan's special from the network. Jack Swagger and Sheamus in an Intercontinental title tournament match that prevented them from wrestling Daniel Bryan at the pay-per-view. This match went forever. And then Sheamus won with a bro kick. He was selling his leg afterwards, collapsed on his way up the ramp.
Sheamus is probably turning heel, and he probably will do some matches with Daniel Bryan for the title, just so everyone knows. That was the idea as of a couple weeks ago. Could have done it at this pay-per-view, but they didn't. That was originally going to be the Mania match, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan and Sheamus.
Again.
Yeah.
More Adam Rose hype videos, same ones they've been showing already.
I did really like the finish of Swagger and Sheamus.
Good finish. It was a road kick. What happened before? I forget what happened to set it up.
And it's just a good finish.
Oh, all right. They plugged Warrior Week on the network. Lots of WrestleMania 6 and...
Speaking of, guess who debuted on Warrior Week out of nowhere in the middle of a Warrior Greatest Matches special?
I understand that the Stinger.
Sting!
Made his WWE debut in an... Not unannounced, but... a network show.
I think technically Sting would have made his debut when he wrestled Ric Flair on the final simulcast, Raw and Nitro.
True.
But yes, this was... people are considering this Sting's debut. I guess he did it via cell phone. I haven't seen it yet. But, Sting, interesting. I guess he signed.
Apparently.
How come Russo never changed his gimmick to interesting? And every week he would do something poetic or something. I don't know.
I'm just going to move on.
One week he'd jump out of an airplane. The next week he'd paint something.
He'd paint something.
Yeah, because he's interesting.
Painting is interesting?
Well, sure.
I'm not saying it's not.
Thank God he's out of TNA now.
Yeah, he can do cell phone videos on network shows.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll do more than that.
Damian Sandow tried to get a promo when Big Show interrupted. And Show came out to his music and lumbered down to the ring, and Sandow never stopped. Just kept talking. Ordered Show to wait in the corner until he was done. Went off about how he was not getting the respect he had earned and deserved. And then finally Show punched him out and left, and that was the entire segment.
This guy says you can't job Cesaro to Daniel Bryan in his first pay-per-view as a Heyman guy. Actually, you know what? You can. If he goes out there and he main events a pay-per-view with Daniel Bryan and they have an awesome match, which I guarantee they do, and they go back and forth, and Bryan barely gets to win over the guy at the end, trust me, he'll be fine. In fact, he'll probably be over a hell of a lot bigger the next night.
Oh, absolutely. Bray Wyatt got a promo, repeated his claims that John Cena was a liar. He said he had Cena up against the ropes, and Cena just needed a little push. And then Cena came out, and he had one fantastic line when he said nobody wanted to see him get another push. And then things went all to hell.
All downhill.
Oh, my God.
All downhill.
A long segment of really, really bad John Cena comedy. And it may not have been his fault, but he did not help.
You know what, Vinny? It is his fault because he's John Cena.
He could say no.
And he can say no to anything he wants.
Yeah.
He can say, you know what? Wrong guy to do horrible comedy with.
So it was all the Wyatt family's heads on pictures of women and babies and stuff. And Bray told Cena to get serious, and so Cena challenged him to a cage match at Extreme Rules so he can win again, I guess. There's no reason, no logical reason for Cena to want a cage match.
Because of the booking they were gonna do and didn't. That's a great reason.
So Bray accepted, and they kept talking for too long. This was bad.
Sammy here makes a very astute point. Raw and Nitro was not simulcast until the segment with Vince and Shane. The Sting match was on Turner only. So there you go.
We had Fandango and Layla versus Santino and Emma. Fandango cut an inset promo saying his breakup with Summer was not personal. He did not blame her for falling in love with him. That was great. Match went a minute. Layla pinned Emma after yanking her on the ropes. This show sucked.
Same finish as earlier on as well.
Stephanie gave Kane a browbeating backstage. He sheepishly tried to apologize. She tore into him, asked what had happened to him, what happened to the monster, what happened to the devil's favorite demon, what happened to Kane? And he fired up. He jumped up.
What happened to Kane? You turned him into a corporate guy.
Yes.
That was your idea, well, that's Steph.
True. That is true. And he was pissed off, and he was fuming and breathing loud, and he slowly grabbed his mask from the display case where it's always been and basically said that he would send Bryan to the depths of hell. So yes, Kane is coming back. Unfortunately, it's this
match. As opposed to the heights of hell?
I didn't say it.
Just always thought that was kind of funny. Going to the depths of hell. The heights of hell are downright balmy. It's nice up there. You're just barely in hell.
What's that?
I hit punch my mic.
Yeah. They replayed Warrior's speech from Raw last week. Very sad.
He didn't look good.
What's that?
It was confirmed to me upon watching this. He did not look good.
No. Had a new skit for Adam Rose's party bus. His party bus includes hungry, hungry hippos and men in bunny costumes. This is the first time I thought, you know, maybe this won't get over.
It'll be a good entrance for a few weeks, and then if it's in the right place, it'll be over. If it's in the wrong place, it's going to die a death, as we learned from SmackDown this week.
Dolph Ziggler versus Wade Barrett in the final tournament match. We at last got a good match in the show. It took until this far, 2.5 hours in. Fans were chanting, this is awesome, for the near falls at the end. Dolph kicked out of all of Wade's big moves, kicked out of the wasteland, kicked out of the Bubba Slam that he uses. And then Wade tried a bullhammer, and Dolph avoided it the first time, but then a few seconds passed, and Wade hit it again for real, and he got the win. This was a good match. So next week, we get Wade and Sheamus, who used to have a ton of fun matches all the time, and Cesaro versus Rob Van Dam, which is intriguing. And Wade cut a promo vowing to win the title. He might.
You know that Raw script got leaked, and looks like Cesaro may be the winner of this tournament here. Which I guess would mean if he wins the tournament, he will also be the linear WWE champion. And by the way, for those of you asking about why AJ and CM Punk were both listed on the injured reserve, that list does not necessarily mean injured. It is a place that you put people, and by putting them in the injured reserve list, people ask fewer questions, was how it was described to me. Mm. So I believe that AJ asked for time off. She's not hurt. And obviously CM Punk is not hurt. But they're both, Punk, like I said, I don't expect to see him back. And AJ will probably be back, but she's also engaged to CM Punk. And you never know. Far more likely she will be back. But right now she's on hiatus.
Had a Kane hype video, pretty much outright saying he is going to come back as a masked monster. Main event was Shield versus mystery opponents.
Remember when masks used to conceal your identity?
Yes. Now he just puts it on and takes it off every once in a while. It makes him mad when he puts it on.
It's like Manic. Why are you wearing a mask, dude?
Manic sucked. Is he still around?
Yeah, they did a TNA one night only pay-per-view, and they brought in a whole bunch of people from outside the company to beat all of the people in the company under contract.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. This place is on fire, this TNA.
What's sad is I don't for a second doubt that what you're saying is true.
To be fair, the guy who won low-key, I believe he is going to be signed to a deal. So at the end of the day, it's not completely preposterous. But they had plenty of outsiders beating their guys.
Great.
Who cares? It doesn't matter.
So it ended up being Shield versus 11 men. Those of you who are writing this down, is Del Rio and Swagger and Fandango, three-man band, Titus O'Neil, Axelback, Rusev, and Wade Barrett. There were at least tags, so the Shield were able to hold their own for a while. And then Reigns hit Ryback with a spear on the floor. Giant brawl broke out. Ref just called for the DQ. Shield hit dives, and they regrouped in the ring, but then their match was over, so the heels just all got all 11 men in the ring at once, swarmed them, beat them up. And then with a battle safely won, Evolution came out to their music. And I thought I was the first one to think of this, although being on the border day, I'm one of thousands to think of this. But the whole point of Evolution used to be veterans finding young guys to groom. First thing I thought was, imagine if they end up taking Roman Reigns into this group. That'd be awesome.
They could, but I... Actually, I don't know. I don't expect that, but...
Or they may just fight for one pay-per-view and then break up again.
I expect Roman Reigns and Hunter to have a match at SummerSlam and Reigns beats him, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. Which means that Evolution needs to win some matches, get some heat.
True, true. So anyway, they came out, and with the battle won, the other 11 heels all disappeared. And so Evolution beat up the Shield for a long time, and they all hit RKOs and powerbombs and pedigrees, and that was the end of the show. It wasn't very good.
I like the main event thing just fine.
It was a good angle.
The last hour or so, well...
That's probably true, actually. The last half hour of the show was the best half hour on the show.
Last half hour was good, but other than that, I don't know. Not a lot to write home about. Well, let's see what's on the Twitter machine before we wrap it up here. What do we got? This person says it was Kane's idea to go corporate. Was it?
Steph made him an offer, and he apparently accepted it, was the storyline.
Let's see. Is Ray injured?
This, by the way, I didn't Ray mention maybe. This. Steph's promo this week was good again. I feel like I should point this out because I used to bury her all the time. She's been much better this year.
Oh, my God. This person says, imagine if they take Bo Dallas into Evolution.
Oh, Bo. I hope I'm wrong about him. I hope he turns out to be awesome and a big star.
Let's see. Is Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar for the title still the plan for SummerSlam? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with Brock Lesnar. That would make sense. Brock usually works Extreme Rules, but I don't think that's happening, obviously. So I would not be surprised if they did Daniel. They could do Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar, Hunter versus Roman Reigns, some sort of tag deal. With, they could even set up, what is it now? May? June, July, August? They could put the titles on, like, Batista and... They could put the titles on Batista and Orton and then do Batista and Orton versus The Shield at SummerSlam. You could have Shield turn on Roman Reigns the day after if you wanted to. A lot of different things you can do there. This person is upset that I critiqued the true genius of Vinny. What did I critique? I don't know.
I have no.
Love how Big John, this guy says, is signing TNA talent to multi-year deals without signing any U.S. TV deal. Well, yeah, but Big John is not in charge of U.S. TV negotiations. I'm sure they would love to sign any U.S. TV deal.
It is funny to me, at least, how... I mean, good these guys are signing contracts, but all the contracts are announced. They're all just... There's a picture of them smiling next to John.
Yeah. This John fella. He's writing some good TV lately. All right, let's play a last song.
What other shows did you write then? This is not Impact.
Wrap it up here. You remember the Yapapa strap match?
I remember the Yapapa Indian, a tribe he apparently made up.
Yeah.
And I remember everyone trying to figure out what he was saying. People were asking, like, what's an apple pie Indian?
Yapapa strap match. Oh, man. That's from Ralph. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. We will be back. We got a lot of stuff coming up tomorrow. And, of course, we'll be back with Craig and Granny on Thursday. Should be a good time. Lance Storm is on the show tomorrow, as always. Dave will be on the show as well later on in the evening. And a lot of stuff to check out. So that's it from here. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Bye.
Somebody make an mbop song with Vinny doing that.